Well, this is John Thrasher, and I count it indeed a privilege to share morning devotions with you for the next 30 minutes. Keep your dial set right where it is. We'll just worship the Lord together. Well, you know, there are just so many bad things happening all around us. I thought it would be good to start the program with a good, positive note, with a happy song that says, I just feel like something good is going to happen. You know, man has always been rotten to the core, corrupt, ever since the fall of Adam. And no matter how much people seem to think that man is basically good and all he needs is a little bit of education and schooling and put some nice clothes on him and he'll be okay, that has proved to be false. Down through the centuries, man is not basically good and just needs a little bit of help and somebody to lift him up. According to the Holy Scriptures, and I believe the Bible, man is basically depraved, corrupt, evil, and the only thing that's going to help him is redemption through Jesus Christ. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, said Peter, than the name of Jesus. He's got to be saved. He needs conversion. He needs his old blackened heart changed. He needs to repent and make things right with God. That's the only hope for the world, the only hope for America, the only hope for your home and mine, the only hope for you and me is to find in Jesus that salvation so full and so free. Man has been so evil and corrupt down through the centuries. Man's inhumanity to man is unbelievable. It stretches beyond the reaches of our imaginations. And so it will always be. In fact, according to the Bible, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound like the society is going to get better through better programs and so forth? No, sir. Man is going to steadily get worse and worse and worse until this age ends in a great battle of Armageddon and the great tribulation period, and then Jesus comes again, and through divine intervention, he will bring universal peace. But that won't happen until Jesus comes again. It won't happen through the ingenuity and the skill and smartness of man. It will happen when Jesus comes again. And then those beautiful passages of Scripture, like in Isaiah chapter 11, will be fulfilled and come to pass, where the wolf and the lion can lie down together and the lamb, and the desert bloom and blossom as a rose, and the little children can play on the hole of snakes, and it won't hurt them, and nothing shall hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, Isaiah chapter 2, and also Micah chapter 4. Neither shall they learn war any more. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, into instruments of peace. But that won't come through man's doings. That will come through divine intervention. Read Revelation chapter 19. And many other passages just like it. Thessalonians chapter 1. When the Lord comes in fiery indignation, to destroy those who are haters of God and despisers of Christ. So down through the centuries, man has always been so mean and hateful to his fellow man, and so it is today. Just read your newspapers, listen to the news, how depressing, how discouraging it is. But don't let it get you down. Man has always been that way, always will be, but in the midst of it, God is a good God. And as we search after him and seek after him, we're going to find him. Not everybody's going to seek after him. And as the seed is being broadcast, thrown out there in many a soil, the birds of the air just come by the wayside and eat it up, and it produces no fruit. It does no good at all. In some soil, along with the seed, sprouts the weeds and the thorns, and it chokes the word, and it bears no fruit. But some will listen. Some will take heed. Some will repent of their sins. Some will say, "Oh God, I want you, I need you." Some will turn to the Lord. And to those who receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. Even though the vast majority of mankind turns a deaf ear and says no to God, there are those who do say yes. And oh, I hope that you are among those who do say, "Yes, God, I want your will. I am willing to go against the flow." Isn't that what Romans chapter 12 says? "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Even though the percentage is against you, and even though the vast majority of people around you couldn't care less about God and keeping the principles and the standards high, and their philosophy is just like nearly everybody else: if it feels good, do it. Live your own life. Do your own thing. Total disregard to God's laws and commandments. And even though the statistics are terribly high of those who live out such a lifestyle, you don't have to. You can be that one lone person who stands up strong and tall. You don't have to give in to the carnal appetites of the flesh. You don't have to surrender your standards and principles just because everybody else seems to be doing so. Daniel stood alone. Stephen stood alone. Paul stood alone. Jesus himself stood alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was said of him that they all forsook him and fled. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood alone. Mordecai stood alone. Esther was his helper. There in the palace, she stood alone. So it does seem that the whole world lies in wickedness. So it does seem that almost everybody you know carries on affairs and lives life the way they want to, and society's going to the dogs. But you don't have to. If 99% out of 100 do it, you can keep your standards high. Your principles can be true. You can have a pure heart. And God will give you the strength to live life the way it should be lived. You and I can't do it in ourselves. We're as weak as anybody else. But when there is the desire to please God and to love him, you can count on God doing his part, and he will fill you with his Holy Spirit, enable you, strengthen you, and help you to be true blue, genuine. I know there are a lot of counterfeits. You don't have to tell me that. I've been around long enough. A lot of phonies. A lot of people who seem to say something, but they're not for real. But I tell you, where there is the counterfeit, there is the reality. There is the genuine. There are those who love God. It may seem like Elijah sometime, when after the contest with the prophets of Baal, and God did answer by fire on Mount Carmel, and then Jezebel got after him, and he ran for his life and went into the wilderness, crawled under the juniper tree. And then he went to a cave, and while he was in the cave, God spoke to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What doest thou here? And Elijah said, O Lord God, Jezebel has killed all the prophets, and I am the only one left. And God said, I have reserved for me 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So sometimes you may feel like Elijah, standing all alone, all by yourself. You're the only one willing to say yes to God and no to the devil, no to sin, no to compromise. But you can be sure God has his disciples. He has those who love him. And don't you love that verse in Malachi chapter 3? And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I want to be among his jewels, don't you? I don't want to be some hypocrite or phony. I don't want to have some pretense of religion, but in reality I don't have it. But every moment of every day, I want my thoughts to be clean, my heart pure, my motives right. And God is our helper. He is our strengthener. Well, this good, positive, happy song says, in the midst of all of this world's corruption, chaos, despair, disappointment, I just feel like something good is going to happen. That's what happens when the Lord takes over, isn't it?
I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves to call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have learned in all that happens just to praise him, for I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment, for I know he'll see me through. He said he would. He has promised I nor ear can hardly fathom all the things he has in store for those who pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, this could be that very day. Yes, I've noticed all the bad news in the paper, and it seems like things are bleaker every day. For this child of God, it makes no difference, because it's bound to get better either way. I've never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always bursting through the skies of gray. I just feel
for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me, a humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within, a heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. That's my desire, over a heart to praise my God. Yes, in the midst of this society, in the midst of all the the hurts and failures and disillusionments, betrayals and disappointments. To have a heart to praise God, to please Him. Not everybody feels that way. Not everybody wants that. And even many people who go to church don't want it. When you read in the scripture, well, like in the book of Isaiah, it seemed that at that time that Isaiah was prophesying that nearly the whole house of Judah and Israel were hypocrites. And of course, God brought judgment upon them. And it is so true so often in so many of our churches that so many people who seem to have a name that they live, in reality are dead. It's always been that way. You read of it in the book of Revelation, thou hast a name that thou livest but art dead. I want to be spiritually alive, sincerely, genuinely, and for it to be so. Nothing to hide, nothing to cover up, no skeletons in the closet, no dirt swept under the rug, but a heart sold out to God, having nothing between my soul and the Savior. I really believe that's the only way to live. If you're trying to live a Christian life any other way, then, dear friend, you're living in compromise. And that is very displeasing to God. He told us, I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Oh, may God help us to be genuine. Genuine. I want to emphasize that word today because it is so important for us to desire that very thing, and that is to be genuine Christians. Not just church members. Not just sing in the choir, serve on committees, preach a sermon behind the pulpit. Not just serve in leadership in the church or occupy a pew during the worship services, but a genuine Christian sold out to God 100%. Could I ask you a question? I know you're busy. A lot of you are in the automobile on your way to work, trying to get there on time. I know you've got a lot of things to do, but I want to ask you this question. Are you 100% sold out to Jesus? Or is there some small percentage in your life that you have reserved for yourself and you withheld? Have you given God every key to every room of your heart except one or two? And you have reserved those rooms for yourself? Well, that can't be. You can't do that. I can't do that. Every room of my heart belongs to the Master. He wants to be Lord of all or not Lord at all. If there is anything in your life that you have not surrendered to God, if there is any area of your life that you have not gotten the victory over, pray through today. Make a full surrender, a total commitment to Jesus Christ. That is the only way to live. Everything else is far short. We sing the song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand on by faith on heaven's tableland. Lord, lift me up to higher ground. This is that higher ground. It spells absolute surrender to God, saying yes to Him. No reservations. No unrepented sin in the life. No compromise, but a total surrender to Jesus Christ, to His holiness, His purity, His goodness, to His will. Oh, dear friend, let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let us praise Him for His majesty. I count this a privilege, a real honor, day after day, to share with you a time of morning devotions, because the things of this world are so contaminating. You know, hour by hour, day after day, we live in this world. We're not monks living in a monastery. We're not hermits occupying some cave out in the wilderness. We walk among people. We live in this world. And it is so easy to become contaminated by the philosophy of this world. And I count it a privilege to share this time with you so that I can remind you as well as myself at the same time that this is the way. Walk ye in it. This is the way. This is what God requires of us. It's got to be higher ground. It has to be absolute surrender. No reserves, no reservations, but totally committed to Him who loved us so much that He died for us. Now, Lord, I want to give myself to You wholly, completely, totally, as together we worship Your majesty and praise Your excellent name and give glory to God. Let's praise Him together, shall we? Wherever you are in your busy schedule, look up to heaven and say, God, I want You. I want to do Your will. Give me the strength to do it. Lord, help me. Said in his first epistle, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he goes on to define what the world is. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. God requires a total, complete separation from this world. You cannot be a lover of this world and a lover of God at the same time. And when the scripture is talking about loving this world, it's not talking about just the things that are within it. It's speaking of the spirit of this age, the worldly spirit of this age, the philosophy of this world, what it stands for, the lust of it, the greed of it, the covetousness of it, the pride of it. You cannot love the spirit of this world and be a lover of God at the same time. And yet a lot of people try. It's amazing to me. They seem to see how close to the world they can get and still be a Christian and go to heaven. That is so risky. Would it not be better to see how close to God we can get and love Him and serve Him and trust Him? That's the only way to happiness anyway. I've never understood how anybody could be happy who just has enough religion to make them miserable. It's kind of like the man with a headache. He doesn't want to lose his head, but it hurts him to keep it. And that's like some people's religion. They don't want to lose it, but it hurts them to keep it. They don't have the joy of the Lord. They don't have even true conversion and salvation. They're just religious. You can know a lot about the Bible. You can go to church all the time and die and miss heaven because, well, Jesus said it to Nicodemus, and still true today. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. And no matter how often we come to church and all the religious motions we go through, until our hearts have been genuinely touched and changed by a miracle of love and grace, then we're still lost in our sins. No matter how many good deeds we do, how much you do for the church, you and I have got to be born again. We must know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Having passed from death into life, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the good part about it all is it is yours for the asking. No one is excluded. How many times have you heard me say that on this program? And I say it because I believe it. No one is excluded from the riches of God's grace except those who exclude themselves. And those who exclude themselves, and those who ignore it, and those who refuse to come shall certainly be excluded from God's plans and purposes. But you don't have to be excluded. This very day, you can look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want you, I need you, I want to be saved. And I don't want to be some pretender either, some hypocritical play actor. I want to be a genuine Christian who loves God, who's sold out to God, has no malice in the heart towards his fellow man, but loves God. Would you pray with me, dear Lord? In the closing seconds of this program, I pray that you would just touch the hearts of my friends out there in that great unseen audience, wherever they are. I know that we're living in a world that lies in wickedness, and we know that our society is so corrupt, always has been. But we also know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and forgiven and delivered. And that's what we pray for today, that many will call upon the name of the Lord and will be as firebrands plucked out of the burning, and will be salvaged and redeemed and saved, and God will put a song in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've enjoyed being with you. My time is gone. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you. I tell you, there's good news when it comes to Jesus Christ.